Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the EPDP Phase 2 Work on Priority 2 Worksheets, Call Number 1, Display of Information of Affiliation versus Accredited Privacy Proxy Providers, Legal versus Natural Persons, taking place on the 3rd of June, 2019 at 1400 UTC. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you're only on the telephone, could you please identify yourselves now? Hearing no one, we do have listed apologies from James Bladel of the RRSG, and he has formally assigned Sarah Wild as his alternate for this call and any remaining days of absence. As a reminder, please make sure to update your GNSO SOIs. If anyone has any updates at this time, please raise your hand or speak up now. Alternates not replacing members are required to rename their line by adding three Z's at the beginning of their name, and alternate and their affiliation at the end. To rename your name, hover over your name and click rename. Alternates are not allowed to engage in the chat apart from private chats or use any Zoom rooms functionality such as raising hands, agreeing, or disagreeing. All documentation and information can be found on the EPDP Wiki space. Please remember to state your name before speaking, and recordings will be circulated on the mailing list and posted on the public wiki space shortly after the end of the call. With this, I'll turn it back over to our chair, Yanis Karklins. Please begin.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, good day, and good evening to all on the call. So we are starting series of calls on worksheets on the issues which our so-called leftovers from the phase one. And meaning or the task of these calls would be to help Secretariat fine-tune the worksheets. And today we have a proposal to work on two of them. That is on one which is now displayed on the screen, display of information of affiliated versus accredited privacy proxy providers, and then another one on legal versus natural persons. We plan that each of the worksheets would not take more than 45 minutes, and we could conclude the call in 1 hour and 30. Though that said, we will not try to prolong meetings, and if we will get through a worksheet faster, then we will take up the second one immediately after. So we discussed with the Secretariat how to run this meeting, and we came to conclusion that that would be mainly Secretariat or staff who would play the lead role in this meeting. I will be on standby. And today it will be Caitlin who will be taking charge of running the meeting. I was told that Marika is traveling this hour, and that's why he's not on the call today. So Caitlin, please. Mic is yours.
Thank you, Yanis. So as everyone can see, and as Yanis just mentioned, on the screen in front of you is the worksheet for the display of information of affiliated versus accredited privacy proxy providers. And I just included a link to the worksheet in the chat if you'd like to open it on your own screen. But what we'd like to do is just go through the worksheet from the top and see if anyone has any additional comments or edits that they'd like to share, and we can discuss them as a group. So the first category of the worksheet just notes the issue description and or charter question. And so we have the relevant recommendation posted in there, which is in the case of a domain name registration where an affiliated privacy proxy service is used, or where the data is associated with a natural person is masked, registrar and registry where applicable must include in the public RDDS and return in response to any query full non-personal RDDS data of the privacy proxy service, which may also include the existing privacy proxy pseudonymized email. And there's a note that the PPSAI IRT, or this project is currently going through implementation. If I understand correctly, it's paused right now, but it is in the implementation phase. And there's a note that it will be important to understand the interplay between the display of information of affiliated versus accredited privacy proxy providers. And I see a note from Mark Anderson that says, can this sentence be explained or clarified? And so I thought I would take a stab, but anybody who has any other thoughts or comments, please feel free to put them in the chat or raise your hand. But if I remember correctly, during phase one, we talked about the difference between affiliated or accredited providers and how, since an affiliated provider is associated with an accredited registrar, the treatment of the information may be different than an accredited privacy or proxy provider that is not affiliated with an accredited registrar. And I think some members of the EPDP team had noted that they may be treated differently, and that would be a question to send back to the IRT to ask for further clarification, which is why it's been flagged here. So I hope that answers your question, Mark. I did want to note that affiliated provider is a defined term in the final report of the Privacy Proxy Services Accreditation Implementation Group. But I see your hand is raised, so please go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, Caitlin. This is Mark. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Great. So what you just explained makes sense, and that that jives with my recollection of the discussion. But that's not really what the sentence says. I mean, the interplay between display of information of affiliated versus accredited privacy proxy providers. I don't think there is any interplay between the two. I think the discussion was much like what you just described, that there may be differences between affiliated and non-affiliated or accredited privacy proxy providers. When I read the sentence, if you just look at the sentence by itself, it really makes no sense in the context of the work we're trying to do here. So, certainly if you're coming in from the outside looking at this, it's not going to make any sense. And it didn't make any sense to me when I was doing my review. So it seems like there could be a better way to word this one. And I think having something in line with what you described makes sense.
Thanks, Mark. I note there's a couple of notes in the chat that are asking if we should be changing final report language. And I think that the sentence that Mark had noted isn't actually from the final report. The recommendation is, I was wrong. It is in quotes. So it is part of the final report. So maybe we shouldn't change that. But I could add a note below that we want to clarify or discuss the difference between the two types of information. And I will note that later in the document, there is an action item for the group to work on a Google Doc together of questions to bring to the privacy proxy implementation review team. And so we could make the question a little bit more clear. Because I do agree that if Mark is confused, then others will probably be confused as well. So we can just work on tailoring that language in the next phase of reviewing the questions to send to the group, if that works for you, Mark. I see Margie is in the queue. Please go ahead, Margie.
Hi, it's Margie. Actually, I think you answered my question. So the based on the feedback language, that's also in the final report, based on the last sentence in that paragraph. If it's all from the final report, then I think you've addressed my issue, and I think we just need to be clear as to what our questions are for the IRT.
Thanks, Margie. I don't have the final report right in front of me, and so I can't. I can't confirm at this moment, but because it's in quotes, I believe it is language directly from the final report, but I will clarify that for us. Oh, and I do see, thank you, Sarah. So Sarah has posted the language and it does use the word interplay. But again, as both of you have noted, both Mark and Margie, we can work on clarifying the questions to the group as an, our next assignment. Does anyone have any other notes, questions, or concerns about the issue description? Okay, seeing no hands raised. We have the expected deliverable as confirmation that either display of information of an affiliated versus accredited privacy proxy provider is addressed in the context of the implementation of PPSAI, or a recommendation that confirms how accredited privacy proxy providers could or should be identified in the public RDDS. And I see Alex has his hand up. Please go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. This is Alex. I think in terms of the deliverable, this is where we want to make sure it's clear kind of what our goals are, right? Because this is, you know, when we complete whatever is listed in this section, we'll know that we're done and we can move on. I mean, confirming what's, I think what's in there at the moment is an important prerequisite for the work we need to do. But the question is what are we as a EPDP team in now in phase two, readdressing this phase one issue based on the report, what is the expectation? What are we expected to deliver? Simply confirming what is currently listed there doesn't seem sufficient. I think we'll need to, you know, based on our confirmation, we'll need to discuss, you know, what perhaps additional, I don't know, recommendations we make in phase two, what updates to the phase one recommendations we may make based on this confirmation and what we learned from the IRT. So it seems incomplete. I don't know exactly what it would be there, but it seems incomplete to me. Thanks.
Thanks, Alex. So I do note that it's right now an or, so it's either confirmation that the issue that was discussed in phase one is being addressed in a different group, so out of scope for this group, or the team would work together on a recommendation that would explain how accredited privacy or proxy providers should be identified in public RDDS. But perhaps we need to make that language a little bit more clear. If you don't believe that it is. But I will go to Sarah. Sarah, please go ahead.
Thank you so much. I just want to take a counterpoint to that. I think that this expected deliverable is clear and sufficient. And I think this is the question that we need to address as a team. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Does anybody have any additional comments? Alex, I can note your concern in the Google Doc, but I don't see anyone else's hands raised. So I assume that this language is okay to the majority of the participants on the call. Brian, please go ahead.
Hey, Caitlin. Yeah, it was one suggestion. The could slash should language, I think, is a little ambiguous there. Can we just change that to how accredited privacy slash proxy providers will be identified?
Thanks for the suggestion, Brian. Is everybody okay with that change? Sarah, please go ahead.
Thank you. I see that point. Maybe we should stick to the standard terms like could, must, may, those things. Maybe we could put it as a may or as a must.
Brian, does that work for you if we change could versus should to may slash must?
Yeah, I think must would be great. What we want is certainty, right? We want some finality here. So must seems to be the better way to go.
Okay, does anyone have any objection to using the word must and Sarah prefers may. So maybe the compromise is may versus may slash must. And I see agreement from, so it looks like there's a split. But I note that Sarah in the chat says, I think the decision between may versus must would be part of what the recommendation would include. So I'll leave it as may slash must for now, since there's not full agreement to have it as must. But if anyone else has any comments or would like to get in the queue, please, by all means, raise your hand. Margie, please go ahead.
Sure, this is Margie. So just to understand what we're talking about now, we're talking about how we're going to do our work. And so I guess my suggestion is, so we're not actually talking about it substantively right now, just the organization. So if my understanding is correct, then I think what they're saying in the chat is that we will talk about whether it's a may or must, and then our recommendation after we have the big, you know, substantive discussion, we'll reach a conclusion on that point. Is my understanding correct?
That's my understanding, Margie, but I don't want to speak on behalf of everybody on the call. But if I understand correctly, some of the conversation going on in the chat is that at this moment in time, we don't know if it's a may or a must, and that will be part of the discussion. So that's why the expected deliverable isn't delineating if it's a must at this point. That discussion will occur a little bit further down the road.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Margie. So I don't see any other hands raised with respect to this issue. The next section of the worksheet is, Margie, is that an old hand or did you have another comment? Thank you, okay. So for the legal questions, no one has identified any at this stage, but of course, if you do think of any questions, we please go ahead and note them in this section of the document. And my assumption would be that the legal advisory group would review the questions in the process that Yanis had outlined last week. And I see that Sarah says, I think we need to return to that as we work through the rest of the process for this issue. Okay, thanks, Sarah. So did anybody have any questions about legal questions at this point? Seeing no hands.
We are 4+1.
I think someone may have a hot mic right now, so please make sure to mute your mic if you're not speaking. The next section is just required reading, and in this category, we have the Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation Issues Final Report, which will help EPDP team members better understand the recommendations that that group came to. And then we also have that group's draft implementation plan and framework. So if there's any other required reading materials that you think would be helpful, please let us know. You're welcome to make comments in the document. I see that we have a couple hands raised. So Margie, please go ahead.
Yes, hi, it's Margie. I have a question about where, I guess I don't really know the answer to this, but where is the analysis on how the privacy proxy implementation is, you know, policy work is going to comply with GDPR? Is that a separate group? Or like in other words, is that in the IRT for privacy proxy, or is that something we're expected to do? Because if it's the latter, then we probably do have some legal questions to feed to the legal team. But if the decision's already been made that's all that work needs to be done by the PPSAI IRT, you know, then we probably don't have to ask those questions.
That's a good question, Margie. And I'm going to refrain from answering that right now because I'm not 100% sure on the answer, so I don't want to misspeak. So I think that as a safety measure, if you do have questions that you think would be important for this work, we can go ahead and draft some of them. And in the meantime, we can get further information for you with respect to how any GDPR issues are being handled by that group, if at all, or who would be in charge of that. So that's a good question. I will take note of that.
Yeah, actually, I think that is a great idea to at least raise the questions, and then whether they get answered in this process or another process, I think we have, I mean, collectively among us, we probably have a good idea as to what kind of questions you should ask related to the PPSAI. So do you want us to just send those in later or start collecting those now?
I don't see any harm in collecting those questions now, Margie. We'll do some more digging for you in terms of who is in charge of what and what the current status is, because I think that is helpful for this group's work. But if there are questions that you can think of immediately that would be helpful, there's no harm in compiling those questions.
Okay, like one that comes to mind is the legal analysis regarding publishing a pseudonymized, email address, because I think that's something that, is implicated in the privacy proxy world.
Okay, thanks, Margie. If you could write that down for us, that would be helpful, and okay, we can put it in the legal questions section of the document.
Sure.
Alex, you're next. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Caitlin. Yeah, it's Alex. I think two other required readings would be helpful here, and I'll put them in the chat. The first is the draft privacy proxy accreditation agreement that's available, and then the second is the draft privacy proxy service program applicant guide. I think that just gives everyone a more concrete understanding of where the implementation is, at least as it was before it was paused. So I'll put those in the chat. Thanks.
Thanks, Alex. And if no one has an objection to including those in the required reading, I can go ahead and add those documents to the worksheet. Margie, is that an old hand? Thanks, Margie. Christina, please go ahead.
Hi, Christina. I think it would be helpful for those of us who may not have followed PPSAI implementation as closely as others is perhaps to add to the required reading section whatever kind of status summary there may be as to where they were in that work before they put it on pause in connection with our work. I think that would help all of us make sure that we have the same background information and understand what that team may have been thinking when they put things on pause. Thanks.
Thanks, Christina. We can go ahead and put a placeholder in the required reading while we search for a briefing, if one's available. I'm sure there is something somewhere that we could add. Any other suggestions, comments, or concerns with required reading? And I didn't see any comments about or comments taking issues with any of the suggestions from Alex or Christina, so I'll take that as a green light that I can add those to the document. And we'll move on to the briefings to be provided. So I did note in the chat, Sarah suggests that maybe someone from the PPSAI team could come do an expert briefing for us. Is that something that others would be interested in? And maybe that could, it could be a dual purpose, and that perhaps someone from the team could provide a briefing / status update. And that would fulfill Christina's request as well. Okay, I see yes, update would be good. Yes. Okay, so thanks for the suggestion, Sarah and Christina. We will put in a briefing for Okay. Does anyone have any other briefings they think would be helpful with respect to this issue? I see Stephanie says we should consider whether a mini privacy impact assessment ought to be done on the PPSAI output. It was not done at the time, but we are now focused on GDPR. Thanks, Stephanie. Is that related to briefings to be provided, or is that just a general suggestion for the group to consider?
Stephanie Perrin speaking. I apologize for the background music. Basically, that would be the quickest way, in my view, to solve a lot of these questions, which Margie is pointing out need to be answered. Thanks.
Stephanie, I'm sorry, your audio cut out towards the end. What I did hear was some of the questions that are being put in the chat by Margie you think could be best answered in a mini privacy impact assessment. If you have any suggestions about who should conduct that, please feel free to put more context in the chat. And I see that Yanis is suggesting an IRT briefing in Marrakesh, and that Sarah is agreeing to the privacy impact assessment. So I'll make a note of that. Are there any other briefings that would be helpful? Oh, Margie, is that an old hand or did you?
It's a new hand.
Okay, please go ahead.
Could we have a briefing from staff on just the privacy proxy landscape to the extent it's known, like, you know, what percentage of registrations are covered by either a privacy or proxy service, and then the if it's known between a privacy versus a proxy service, just so we understand the scale as we develop, you know, our recommendations.
Thanks for the suggestion, Margie. I see a plus one from Mark and from Hadia. Does anyone have an objection to a briefing from staff regarding statistics in relation to privacy proxy landscape, if they exist? Matt, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Caitlin. It's Matt. I don't have an objection, but I don't know that we need a full-blown briefing from them. Maybe what we could do is just simply come up with a list of questions that we could send over, as we've done throughout our work in the past, and they can just provide answers. I don't know that we want to spend, you know, their time and ours on a full-blown briefing from them if we can just come up with a set of questions. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. And again, since one of the suggestions for next steps in terms of this particular topic is to come up with questions to be sent to the PPSAI IRT, perhaps that is a question that we could include there if others agree. I see some plus ones for Matt's suggestion. So we can make a note of that for the draft questions that we send to the IRT. I see, okay, questions are fine, but to ICANN.org, certainly, Margie. And as Matt noted, you know, in phase one, anytime there was a question for ICANN.org, we would put it in writing and let them respond when they had the information. So we can make a note of that. So moving on to dependencies. So one of the dependencies in the work, as we had mentioned earlier, in relation to the deliverable, is that for the PPSAI IRT to confirm whether the display of information of an affiliated versus accredited provider is addressed in the context of the implementation. It's dependent on feedback from the IRT to answer that question. And the expected or recommended timing is to reach out to the IRT as soon as possible to get clarity on whether this issue is going to be addressed by the EPDP team or by the IRT. Does anyone have any questions or concerns about that dependency? Okay, seeing no hands raised, are there any other dependencies that anyone on the team would like to identify at this time? Okay, I don't see any hands raised or anyone chatting. So the next section is the proposed timing and approach. And based on that it's now the 3rd of June, we'll have to alter this slightly. But in April of 2019, we have for the EPDP team to formulate questions for the IRT to obtain the required information to determine next steps. And we can do that via a Google Doc. And again, those questions can highlight some of the issues and concerns that have come up during this conversation. And then following the questions being sent to the IRT and the receipt of answers, in the following month, the EPDP team to review the IRT feedback and make a determination on the mailing list whether or not the issue needs to be discussed further by the EPDP team or whether it is considered addressed by the IRT. And then if it's not addressed, the team will further deliberate on the issue with other Workstream 2 items, unless it's determined that the issue can be addressed through mailing list discussions. So are there any concerns or proposed edits to the proposed timing and approach, other than obviously changing the months since we can't go back in time to meet those deadlines? Okay, I don't see any hands raised. Are there any other final comments about this issue that anyone would like to raise before we move on to the legal versus natural sheet? Okay, I don't see any hands raised. So thanks everyone for your feedback on this worksheet. So now we're moving on to the legal versus natural. And I see, Yanis, after the meeting, we need to change Workstream 2 to Priority 2. Thanks. I will go ahead and fix that. Okay, so again, the worksheet has the same exact format as the one that we just went over. And as such, the issue description or charter question appears first. And so we have recommendation 17 pasted into the issue description. I assume there's no concerns with having the relevant recommendation here, but I do see a hand raised from Hadia. Hadia, please go ahead.
Okay, so certainly I'm not contesting the recommendation, though of course it lacks the main objective, which is it says the EPDP team will determine and resolve the legal versus natural issue and does not state what the issue is. So it lacks actually the actual, it does speak about the study and that's clear, but actually, it doesn't say actually what the issue is. In my opinion, for example, the issue is whether to, and that's stated in the deliverable anyway, the issue is whether registries and registrars should be required to differentiate or may be required to differentiate. So that was just a comment. I have other comments later, but maybe I'll keep them for when you scroll down. Thank you.
Thank you, Hadia. As we did in the previous worksheet, where there's a criticism or proposed edit to final report language, I think that we agreed that we wouldn't propose edits to any language that's already in the final report because that language is what was agreed to by the team. However, that being said, in terms of the expected deliverable and next steps, certainly we can try to clarify those and make them a little bit more concrete and clear for the group. And I see there's been a little bit of discussion in the chat about meeting schedules and meeting times. I think that this proposed schedule was sent to the full team prior to the scheduling of the meetings, but if there's a problem or if there's a proposed update or suggestion, please feel free to send those to the whole list. Seeing no additional hands raised, we'll go to the expected deliverable. And currently we have confirmation regarding the feasibility and risks associated with differentiation of registrant status as legal or natural persons across multiple jurisdictions, whether contracted parties should be allowed or required to treat legal or natural persons differently. And if the answer to part two is yes, must be required, what mechanism is needed to ensure a reliable determination of legal versus natural status? So I did note that there were several comments about the expected deliverable. And I think that the first deliverable, the first comment notes that the first deliverable refers to the study to be conducted by ICANN.org. And since the study is listed as a dependency, the deliverable should be the EPDP team's conclusion based on the study results. And another comment about the deliverable should be the study, tracking the recommendation, and the conclusion based on it. So I do see Hadia's hand is raised. Perhaps a suggestion could be to include what the both Marks and Christina had noted, which is expected deliverable is the study that was mandated by the recommendation and the EPDP team's analysis based on that study. And then the analysis would lead to either a change in the recommendation perhaps or not a change in the recommendation, and the phase one recommendation would stay. And instead of summarizing the recommendation, we could just say based on the text of recommendation 17 or something like that. But I'll open the floor. So Hadia, please go ahead.
Hadia Minyavi for the record. So I can't recall ever agreeing on having the decision of the team based on the outcome of the study. I think the intention was to tackle the issue or of legal versus natural, and part of that was a study. So we never said, you know, that we will do a study and then based on the outcome of the study, the team would take a decision. No, that was not what agreed upon. And definitely I don't agree to that. So my suggestion is we said that we're going to tackle the issue. We'll see if we need to differentiate, if differentiation is a must or a may, and also we need to have a study. My suggestion would be that first we need to put down in bullets the reasons for which we do not want to make this differentiation, or we think that it is risky to make this differentiation. Because definitely we all agree in that a differentiation between legal and natural persons is perfectly legal, and Bird and Bird confirms that as well. So if we actually do not want to do that, we should start by stating the bullet points and the reasons for which we do not want to make this differentiation. And then based on that, we take each bullet point, each reason, and try to analyze it. Look at the risks associated with the reasons and the feasibility of the implementation. And I think that should be our starting point. Thank you.
Thanks, Hadia. So I did notice a couple of questions for you came up during your comment. And so rather than me addressing them for you, I thought I would give you a chance to answer the question. The first question is, what would be the purpose of the study if the team doesn't consider its outcome in its decision on the issue, and agreement that it'd be helpful if you could clarify that, because I think other team members' understanding is that during phase one, the team couldn't come to agreement on that, on this issue. And a lot of those points that you're making in terms of what are the risks and what are the different factors were outlined by both sides, both or multiple parties within the text of the final report, as well as in response to public comments. We have a lot of information on that, but we were looking for a study to see if we could move the issue further, to see is this something that could be implemented, and then following the receipt of that, have the team look at it and see if there's any change needs to be made to the recommendation. But if you could maybe provide some clarity on why you think that we don't need the study or why the study shouldn't inform the team's further analysis on the issue, that would be helpful.
Okay, so sure. So first of all, I definitely think that the study is a good thing to do. I never said that we don't need to do the study. And also, I do think that the team should consider the outcome and the output of the study. I just said what I'm saying is this is not the only output or outcome that the team will depend on in taking its decision. It's one of the inputs that the team would consider when taking its decision. So the study is good from a practical point of view, and that's why we need the study definitely. And it's just one input, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't also list the reasons and tackle them one by one, and also look at the risks associated with each of them. And that maybe if we have legal questions also associated with those reasons, we could also post them. So the study is good, it's important, but it's just one factor and it's not the whole thing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that clarification, Hadia. Sorry, I didn't mean to put words into your mouth. So thank you for clarifying. Brian, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's good discussion. And this is Brian. So the point I wanted to raise to the group and to ask for some thoughts on is the third point there and the mechanism that's needed to ensure the reliable determination. Is that meant to be consistent across all contracted parties, or are we trying to come up with a mechanism that must be used by contracted parties, or kind of like a best practice, or what are we trying to do with number three there?
Thank you for the question, Brian. I think, and again, please keep me honest, other members of the EPDP team, one of the concerns that was brought forward by some of the contracted parties is that there currently isn't a mechanism that could ensure that there's a reliable determination. And therefore, in today's state, or until there is some sort of confirmation that there would be a reliable determination, there's a lot of risk involved, and that the study would be able to shed more light on that if there is a way to do this reliably. But again, I will leave that to others to comment on. I just think that that was a concern that was raised in phase one. And so it would be something that the team would look at further in phase two. I'm sorry if that didn't answer your question, but I'll leave that to the some of the contracted parties who brought forward these concerns to clarify if needed.
Thanks, Caitlin. And if I could just ask a follow-up question then. Would it be more accurate to say that the deliverable here is that we would decide if a single mechanism or if a best mechanism is needed? So like to decide if we do need to establish such a mechanism for this group?
I see what you're saying. So maybe we could alter the language in three to what mechanism if any is needed, or what particular mechanism, or I'm not good at coming up with language on the fly, but I think the concern is that perhaps there's not just one mechanism that would be used.
Yeah, thanks. And this is Brian. I could maybe propose something in the comments on the Google Doc if that'd be helpful.
That'd be great.
We can move on. Cool. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Margie, please go ahead.
Yes, this is Margie. I think what we're trying to get at here when in both the study and the mechanism is identify, you know, what you know, as part of the feasibility study, what is possible and is done in other industries, or even our industry. CCTLDs do this. And so that, I think, would be a useful data point for us as we discuss, you know, whether to make the distinction, and if we make the distinction, what, you know, what type of validation do we need for this? And that's what I recall the intent of that recommendation was.
Thank you, Margie. Brian, is that an old hand? New hand? Okay. So there were several comments about changing the deliverable to once the outcome of the study has been received, the team would review the study and note the text of recommendation 17. So to look at the feasibility and the risks, there seemed to be slight disagreement from Hadia. Perhaps the way to address that is review the study, and if more information is needed after the study, this team could also assess that. I don't know if that would mitigate your concern, Hadia, but I can certainly take a stab at redrafting the expected deliverable. But if anyone else has any comments on that, please feel free to raise your hand. There just seems to be some convergence on the team will review the study once it's received and then begin discussions based on the study itself.
Okay, so Caitlin, you're suggesting that we go ahead with the study, right? And after the study, we start, that would be our starting point. Is that what you're saying?
So Hadia, yes, that is what I'm saying, but I'm just noting that the final report actually is the language I'm going, referring to that recommended the study. So I'm not suggesting that myself, and neither are the other members of the team. We're just noting that there was a requirement and the recommendation that a study be conducted. So a dependency for the team's future work on this on recommendation 17 is that we see the results of the study, and then the discussion will continue at that point.
Yeah, I do acknowledge and realize that that we actually asked for a study, and I do agree with that definitely, and that's what the chart is, and that's what the final report said. See that actually we agreed on waiting for the study until the discussions and then discuss after that. That's the only thing I'm arguing against. When do you think this study could be conducted and finalized and we actually could have an output for it? To wait that long to start the discussions on legal versus natural, I think it's too long. And also, I don't see language anywhere in the report saying that we are going to do the study first, and then based on the study, we are going to discuss further. But yeah, that's what I think. Thank you.
Thanks, Hadia. And I noticed that a couple of comments in the chat are referencing that the study will help inform the team's work going forward. I note that you did ask a question about when the study would be delivered, and I'm not in a position to answer that question, but it is part of the EPDP IRT, to use more acronyms, that'll be part of that team's implementation plan. And I believe that some members of this group or of the EPDP team phase one are involved in that. So we can certainly get a status report on that, but I'm not able to answer that question at this time. But just in the interest of moving on, I can take a crack at rewording this expected deliverable based on our discussion. And anyone that has an issue with the rewording, you're of course welcome to comment and clarify. So the next section of the worksheet is legal questions. And I will note that provided everyone's in agreement, the questions that were asked in response, or the clarifying questions that were asked in response to Burden Bird's legal versus natural memo will be included here. That of course doesn't necessarily mean the questions as worded will ultimately go to Burden Bird. They'll be sent to the legal advisory group to review and refine and see if the questions are truly legal in nature and if they're neutral, et cetera. And then those questions would be forwarded to Burden Bird if the group agrees. However, that being said, if anyone has any questions that they think are important for this issue, you're welcome to add them in this section of the worksheet, and those will similarly be sent to the legal advisory group for review. So moving on to the required reading. So we have the legal versus natural memo from Bird and Bird, which I just referenced. And we did note at the beginning of phase two that we would like everyone to read the memos, all of the memos from phase one, because they'll help inform the group's work in phase two. We have input provided by ICANN.org as part of the phase one deliberations. And this is a question about the picket fence. I believe someone, one of the EPDP team members, had asked that question. I see here that Mark is suggesting that the board scorecard that references this item should be included. So thanks for the suggestion, Mark. We can go ahead and include that. Does anybody else have any suggestions on required reading that should be included in this section? And of course, if you think of anything after the call, the worksheet is a living document, so you're welcome to add it at that time. But if there's anything that you can think of that you'd like to discuss, please feel free. Brian, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I would, and I'll add this in the Google Doc, but I'd like for the group to consider the Registrar Accreditation Agreement in 3.7.7.4 is both a really good starting point, and then I think also not simultaneously not enough for GDPR compliance, but that's the part of the RAA that says what registrars have to inform their registered name holders about and the way that the data is collected and how it could be used. I think that it's a good start, and I think we should build on that and think about what else needs to be provided to registrants when they indicate whether they're a legal versus a natural person.
Okay, thanks, Brian. If you want to include that in the chat, we can go ahead and add that to the document unless anyone objects to the relevant portions of the RAA being included in the background materials. I don't see any hands. Okay, so we can move on to, oh, I see Sarah says, I'm not sure that I agree that section is relevant. Sarah, please go ahead.
Thank you. Just realized I could actually speak aloud instead of typing. Maybe I missed it when it was proposed, but it doesn't seem super relevant to me. It does seem to incorporate some of the requirements under the GDPR articles, I think it was 13 and 14, and I don't really see mention of legal versus natural. So I don't know. I mean, certainly we should all be well aware of what is in the RAA, so I don't object to it being included as required reading. I'm just not seeing the connection. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. Brian, did you want to respond to that?
Sure. Yeah, just that it's good background information on what notice is being provided to the registrant. Maybe I should have been clearer. I think that would be a good basis. A good deliverable for this team might be one of the mechanisms that we listed above. I'm presupposing the outcome here, I admit, but this could be a good starting point for like what registrars need to tell registrants when they self-identify as either a legal or a natural person, if that's the route that we choose to go. So that's where I'm getting at, is this could be a good thing to build on because it's already in existence and already required today. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Sarah, is that an old hand or a new hand?
No, I just like to respond a little bit. Thank you for clarifying that, Brian. And sure, yeah. So I do think it's useful to look at what notifications registrars are required to provide to registrants, because that might help inform if we have to notify about this as well. In that case, this is not really the RAA section I would point to, simply because, as I said earlier, it does really copy in from the GDPR. And so I feel like this is something that is already covered in other requirements, but there are other RAA and consensus policy requirements around what registrars need to incorporate. So maybe that is something that staff could assist with in putting together a bit of a cheat sheet as to what notifications are already sent out, if this team feels like that would be useful.
Okay, did anyone else have any comments on RAA requirements and what should be included in the required reading? Okay, so I see Brian agrees with Sarah's suggestion, so I'll take note of that. Thanks, Sarah. Okay, so moving along to the briefings to be provided. This was put in before we had discussed with the EPDP team, but one of the things that we noted was that if the EPDP team requested it, we could have someone from Bird and Bird provide a summary of the legal guidance received to date on this issue. And if the team thinks that would be helpful, we can leave that in here. And of course, if you think there are other briefings that may be helpful, please feel free to raise your hand and let the group know. Okay, I don't see any hands raised, so I assume that means the group is in favor of this summary from Bird and Bird about their memo on legal versus natural. Okay, so moving on to the dependencies. So the first dependency that we have is that the leadership team had requested that the EPDP team, review the legal guidance received. So in this context, it's the legal versus natural memo from Bird and Bird. That was supposed to have been done by May 15th. So I'm hoping that everyone has done that, but that is a dependency. I see a question from Georgios. Will Bird and Bird reply to the clarifying questions at the same time? So good question, Georgios. I'm not sure if you saw the recent message from Yanis, but the way that those clarifying questions are going to be handled is, instead of sending the questions wholesale to Bird and Bird, there will be a legal advisory group that works together to review all of the questions and see if the questions are legal in nature and neutral and are relevant to the team's work in phase two. And so once those questions are modified and revised, if at all, the questions would be sent to Bird and Bird as a matter of priority. And so the answer to your question is, I'm not sure that those questions will be sent in advance so that Bird and Bird would be in a position to answer them at that time. But perhaps it will just depend on the timing of when the questions are sent to Bird and Bird and when the legal advisory group has time to review them. Volker is asking if matter of priority means higher fees. No, Volker, sorry, what I meant by that is that once the legal advisory group does review those questions, we will go ahead and forward them to Bird and Bird. So that's something that is on our list to make sure that they are reviewed, but that doesn't mean that we'd be receiving higher fees. Thanks, Volker. Okay, so next, the dependency that we had obviously alluded to earlier in this worksheet is that recommendation 17 alludes to a required study on the legal versus natural issue, and that is a dependency on the team's work. And so what we have is the expected or recommended timing is that we request feedback from ICANN.org and the IRT on the expected steps and timing to conduct the study so that we can get further information on that. Are there any other dependencies that people would like to note? Or are there any issues with the expected or recommended timing for the ICANN.org study? Just letting everyone know that there might be an open mic, so please make sure you're muted unless you'd like to speak. Hadia, please go ahead.
Hadia Mignot for the record. So definitely the study is a dependent, and I think the question should be to ICANN.org. When do they foresee that they can actually be done with this kind of study? And based on their reply, the team should start considering if we should wait for the study or not. Because again, I would like to note that there is no language in the report whatsoever that says that we need to wait for the outcome of the study in order to start discussing the natural versus a legal issue. But if the whole group or team agrees on waiting until the output of the study is known, then the minimum we should know when this when is the outcome of the study, when is it going to be available, and based on that maybe we decide to whether we wait for the output of the study or proceed in parallel while the study is taking place. Thank you.
Thank you, Hadia. So in the expected or recommended timing, there's an implicit assumption that when we ask ICANN.org for the expected steps and timing to conduct the study, that we would also be asking, when do you think the timing could be complete? And once the team has that information, we can review that further. Does anyone else have any concerns about the dependencies as written, or does anyone have any suggested additions to the dependencies? Okay. Seeing no. Just another reminder to please mute your mics if you're not speaking. I'm hearing some background noise. So the next section is the proposed timing and approach. And so in May 2019, we asked the EPDP team to review the legal guidance regarding legal versus natural and identify additional questions to determine if a legal briefing from Bird and Bird is necessary. So item one has been completed, and I believe item two we've answered today, which is the team would like a briefing from Bird and Bird. And then also that we would confirm with ICANN.org the expected next steps and timing to conduct and publish the study results. And then following the results of the study, the EPDB team will review the outcome and determine whether or not the differentiation between natural and legal person should be required. I see a couple of hands raised. So starting with Mark S, please go ahead.
Hi, Mark Swanzerich. I think we need an additional bullet in there between May and TBD. I think we can start defining what sort of questions are in the study, what sort of outcome we're expecting to get, not the outcome of the study, of course, but what sort of questions we're hoping to answer. There's been a lot of suggestions on the chat today about what might be in that study, what we need to resolve by that study. And I think we can start defining that soon or now. And so I think that needs to be put in the timing right now. We can't predict how long the study will take right now, but we can predict how long it will take us to define what the study does. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark. And I noticed Volker said should may be updated to June. And yes, Volker, thank you. As noted in the previous worksheet, we will update the timing requirements on this since we can't go back into the past. Okay, so the suggestion was to add a bullet under confirm with ICANN.org to provide suggested questions to ICANN.org that could inform the study. And I think next in the queue, Mark A, please go ahead.
Thanks, Caitlin. Mark Anderson. My comment was going to be similar to Mark S. Is, you know, this, the request for this study is for our phase two deliberations. So we're the intended audience for this study. And I know in our phase one recommendations, we had, we had four bullet points. And they're listed in the dependency section. But I don't think it's reasonable to just sort of, hand those four bullet points off to ICANN.org and say, do a study and let us know when you're done. I think it's really incumbent on us, maybe a sub-team or a group of us, but I think it's incumbent on us to work with ICANN.org to make sure they understand what we're asking and to sort of collaborate with them on this study to make sure they're delivering what we actually need to help inform those phase two deliberations. So I think that's sort of, in the spirit and in line with what Mark S. V. was saying, but, I do think there just needs to be a step there where we as the phase two working group work and collaborate with the ICANN.org staff that will be conducting this study, make sure everybody understands what the need is and help make sure they deliver something that's actually useful and actionable for us in phase two.
Thank you, Mark A. And thank you, Mark S. I drafted a bullet on the fly, and of course, feel free to suggest if you don't like the language, but it just says EPDB team or sub team to work with ICANN.org on the study, including providing questions and or relevant background to assist in informing the study. Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I've raised this point repeatedly in phase one, but I'd like it on the record for the study. The GDPR rests on the European Charter of Fundamental Rights. Those rights protect members of organizations under certain grounds. The people have pointed out repeatedly that the GDPR does not apply to legal entities. However, the rights of the Charter apply to the people associated with legal entities. This is of particular concern with respect to political speakers, journalists, members of disadvantaged groups, such as, unpopular religious faiths, women's education collectives, all that sort of thing, all of which would be substantially exposed were they not able to use privacy proxy services. So any study should look at that fundamental rights aspect of this, because any lawsuit will. And I've verified that with civil society litigants who are taking actions under GDPR. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. So I might suggest that this small team that's working with ICANN.org on this study, if you believe that's an important issue to be included, then perhaps you or one of your colleagues could volunteer to be part of that sub-team to make sure that issue is brought forward. Mark S. V., please go ahead.
Thanks, Mark Swanzerich. Yeah, I just wanted to add the point. Right now, the way we've written this bullet, it looks completely open-ended. I mean, it's effectively a TBD. So yes, we do need to do that. We need to work with ICANN.org and create the questions and the relevant background. But I think we should quickly create a target date for having that done so that we can proceed to the next step, which is actually, you know, launching the study. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark. Do you have a proposal for when that should be done?
Off the top of my head, 1 month.
Okay, so...
I mean, I think I could go faster, but I can't speak for anyone else.
Okay, so I'll, for now, put in a placeholder for July 1st. Unless anyone has an objection. I see Hadia, please go ahead.
Hadia Miyai for the record. So I definitely agree with Mark that we do have, we do need to have a date. And to Stephanie's point, all these kind of organizations cannot not to have their data put and actually published. And even now this is the case, long before the GDPR also, those organizations could have opted not to have their data listed. But anyway, I'm not talking about the past, but looking forward, definitely all those types of organizations cannot not to put their information in there. So this is a totally different in my opinion, it's not a related topic. When we discuss legal versus natural, we definitely do not mean those kinds of organizations, and those kind of organizations will opt not to have their information in there. Thank you.
Thank you, Hadia. Okay, does anyone else have any questions about the proposed timing? So I note that further to Mark SV's suggestion, I have that, you know, any EPDP team members or sub-team that wants to work on providing questions or relevant background information to inform the study should do so by July 1st. And then, of course, we're asking ICANN.org to provide further information on when the study will be conducted and what is the proposed completion date, at which point the EPDP team will review this study and then work further on the legal versus natural question. And then in the background section, we just have the relevant charter questions that that promulgated that previous recommendation 17, just for perhaps members that are in the phase two team that were not part of phase one. And it also includes a link to that EDPB letter. So that's the conclusion of the worksheet. Did anybody have any further questions, concerns, edits, comments that you'd like to raise before we close out this call? Okay, I don't see any hands raised. Yanis, did you have any final comments?
Yeah, no, thank you, Caitlin. I think it was a very useful exercise, and you will finalize these worksheets in a few days now, and then we will put that for approval of the team. And the next time, during the next sub-team call, we will address other two on city fuel reduction and data retention, and that call is scheduled on June 12th. So the method of work will be the same, and probably what remains for me is to thank everyone for active participation, and we will see each other on Thursday. And the agenda for Thursday's call will be published tomorrow at the end of the day. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And with that, that does conclude today's conference. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.